I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you're holding a newborn baby. Or, you know, if that doesn't quite resonate, maybe picture yourself sitting alone in a dark room, you're listening to a piece of music, and out of nowhere, you are just moved to tears.
Yeah, that really profound, undeniable kind of heavy experience.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Now, I want you to try to explain that exact moment purely through data.
Oh, man. Well, you'd have to try capturing it entirely with, like, heart rate monitors or pupil dilation metrics, acoustic wave frequencies.
Yeah, you could perfectly record the decibel level of the music or the exact weight of the child.
Right, but there is this massive, undeniable gap. The data is 100% accurate, but it completely misses what it actually feels like to be inside that moment.
And that gap isn't just some poetic abstract concept. That space between what we can measure and what we actually feel is, well, it's kind of the entire battleground for what it means to be human right now.
It really is.
Which is why today's deep dive is going to focus entirely on unpacking this really fascinating philosophical treatise. It's by August Sun, and it's called The Tao of Lucidity.
Yeah, and the central premise of this text is essentially a survival guide. I mean, it presents this rigorous argument for what makes you uniquely valuable in the age of artificial intelligence.
Because we're all kind of wondering that right now, aren't we?
Definitely. Sun argues that reality has two distinct faces, and learning to navigate the tension between them is, like, the ultimate shortcut to genuine wisdom.
So a quick tone check for you listening. We are dealing with a text built on first principles today and some pretty heavy philosophical axioms.
But we're keeping this entirely grounded.
Completely grounded. We're going to translate the high philosophy into the reality of cooking dinner or, you know, doom scrolling on your phone and watching the weather.
Right, because to figure out our place in the AI age, Sun insists we first have to understand the structure of reality itself, which the text refers to as Tao, the totality of all things.
And this totality, it has two inseparable aspects, right?
Exactly. There are basically two faces of the exact same coin. So the first face is called pattern. In the original text, the term is elan.
Okay, pattern.
Yeah. Pattern is the intelligible face of reality. It's literally everything that can be mapped, measured, modeled, predicted, and compressed into data.
Right. So the entire realm of science and mathematics operates here. And crucially, artificial intelligence operates exclusively here.
Oh, absolutely. AI is the ultimate pattern machine. It maps reality brilliantly. But then you have the second face, which is mystery or Juan.
Mystery.
Yeah. Mystery is the felt quality of an experience. It's the unstructurable side of reality.
Like going back to the opening thought experiment, right?
Exactly. It's what it actually feels like to see the color red or to experience sudden grief. It's the depth that remains after every single piece of analysis is completely finished.
Okay, let me push back on this right out of the gate, though.
Sure, go for it.
Because I feel like anyone listening with a hard science background is probably rolling their eyes at the word mystery.
For sure.
If pattern is everything we can map, isn't mystery just like a temporary placeholder?
What do you mean?
Like, isn't it just pattern that our current scientific tools haven't figured out yet? I mean, ancient civilizations thought thunderstorms were a mystery, usually an angry god.
Right, until we map the patterns of atmospheric pressure and static electricity.
Exactly. So doesn't the map eventually just cover everything?
Well, that is definitely the default modern assumption. But Sun counters it using what the text calls postulate three, the dual aspect postulate.
Okay, break that down for us.
Mystery is fundamentally not ignorance. It is not a placeholder for future science, and it is certainly not superstition. It's a structural, mathematical fact of reality.
Wait, really? A mathematical fact?
Yeah. Postulate 3 states that reality inherently overflows any finite description of it.
Meaning the map can never actually become the territory.
Exactly. Think about a perfect, millimeter-accurate, high-resolution digital map of a sprawling city, like Tokyo or New York.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
That map is a flawless pattern. But the map will never contain the smell of the street food, you know. It will never capture the sudden, chaotic energy of rush hour.
Or like the physical feeling of the wind funneling between two skyscrapers.
Right. The reality of the city structurally overflows the data of the map. So mystery isn't the stuff we haven't charted yet. It's the dimension of reality that, by definition, cannot be charted.
Yeah, that's a huge distinction.
It really is.
So we have the map and we have the overflow. But if these two faces, pattern and mystery, if they aren't just abstract ideas, how do we spot them in the wild?
Well, the text outlines four modes of pattern and four depths of mystery.
Okay, but rather than just listing them, let's look at how they actually fight for dominance in your daily life. Let's take something painfully relatable.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, being stuck in a YouTube or social media rabbit hole at 2 a.m.
That is basically a perfect theater for Pattern to operate.
Because in that 2 a.m. doom scroll, you are experiencing the four modes of Pattern perfectly. First, there's dissipation.
Energy spreading out.
Right. Think of your own mental energy slowly draining as you stare at the screen, much like a hot cup of coffee cooling down on a desk.
Yeah, and then you have gradients.
Money, data, and human attention flowing from high concentration to low. The marketers and the platforms are constantly analyzing the gradient of your attention.
I'm a highly measurable.
Very. Third is selection. The algorithm is ruthlessly testing which thumbnail you click, killing off the weak videos. It's digital survival of the fittest.
And finally, feedback.
The loop itself. You watch a video, the algorithm learns, it serves you a hyper-optimized next video, and the loop just tightens.
Dissipation, gradients, selection, and feedback. Every single one of those is a mappable, predictable mechanism.
And AI can predict your behavior in that loop far better than you can.
Oh, completely. It owns that domain. But human experience doesn't end there. Eventually, something breaks the loop.
Hopefully.
Right. You look away from the screen, maybe glance out the window at a perfectly clear night sky, and suddenly you encounter the four depths of mystery.
This is where the map fails.
Completely. The first depth of mystery is qualia.
The raw feeling.
Yeah, the raw, irreducible sensation of an experience. It's the sudden chill of the night air on your face when you open the window. A sensor can tell you it's 50 degrees outside, but only you can experience the sharpness of the cold.
Ah, right. And then the second depth is thisness, which I've got to say, I have found thisness to be the most compelling concept in the whole book.
It's so powerful. It's the visceral, sudden realization that this exact moment in time and this exact physical location is radically unique.
Because Pattern recognizes categories, right? The algorithm says, oh, this is a typical Tuesday night user session.
Exactly. But thisness is a realization that this specific Tuesday night, the way the moonlight is hitting your floorboards right now, has never happened in the history of the universe.
And will never happen again.
Right. It pulls you violently into the present tense.
Oh, wow. Then we move to the third depth, which is resonance.
Right.
Like, you might hear a car drive by playing a faint piece of music, and suddenly you feel this emotional ache. You just vibrate on the same frequency as the art without any intellectual explanation as to why.
Yeah, you just feel it. Yeah. And the final, deepest depth is awe. Looking up at that night sky and feeling a sense of scale so vast that your internal map simply short circuits.
You aren't calculating the orbital mechanics of the moon. You're just overwhelmed by the sheer uncompressed weight of reality.
Exactly. AI can perfectly execute the feedback loop on your screen, but it cannot experience the awe that makes you actually close the laptop.
Okay, so we have these two faces constantly running. We have the habit loops and the gradients on one side, and the awe and the thisness on the other.
Right.
But if both are always present, why do we constantly feel so out of balance? Like, why is it so incredibly difficult to hold the whole picture in our heads?
Well, that brings us to a hard limitation in our own biological hardware. Sun addresses this through the concept of cognitive finitude.
Cognitive finitude. Let's use a visual analogy for this because it really helped me. Picture a Necker cube.
Oh, the optical illusion.
Yeah. It's that classic illusion, just a simple 2D line drawing of a transparent 3D cube. When you stare at it, the front face of the cube seems to point down and to the left.
But if you keep staring, your brain suddenly flips the image and the front face seems to point up and to the right.
Exactly.
It's what neurologists call a beastable perception. Basically, your brain's hardware only has enough processing power to run one interpretation at a time.
Even though you logically know both orientations are drawn on the paper, you physically cannot see both of them simultaneously.
And reality works the exact same way.
Right.
You can look at a forest and see the pattern. You know, the board feet of lumber, the carbon capture metrics, the ecosystem feedback loops.
Or your brain can flip and you look at the forest and see the mystery. The profound age of the trees, the resonance, the awe.
But you cannot hold both faces in full active focus at the exact same millisecond. Postulate 6 in the system formalizes this. To exist in a finite, particular way means you inherently cannot process infinite reality all at once.
We are finite beings trying to download an infinite file.
A perfect way to put it. The Necker cube of reality flips back and forth because our cognitive RAM simply maxes out.
But, I mean, if we are neurologically trapped flipping back and forth like that, it sounds like we're doomed to always be half blind to how the universe actually works.
Well, that is exactly where Sun introduces the core operational concept of the entire philosophy. Lucidity.
Hmm.
Or Ming.
Lucidity.
Yeah. Lucidity is not some mystical omniscience. You don't suddenly achieve a godlike state where you see the matrix.
Oh, good. That sounds exhausting.
Right. No. Lucidity is simply an honest, humble awareness of both what you are currently seeing the pattern and what you are currently not seeing the mystery.
It's the active acknowledgement that the other side of the Necker cube is still there, even when your brain is currently focused on the opposite side.
Exactly. And Sun provides a very specific mathematical equation for this state. Lucidity is the product of your pattern awareness, multiplied by your mystery awareness.
The fact that it is multiplied rather than added changes everything.
It really does. Because in math, if you multiply any massive number by zero, the result is zero.
So if you have an incredibly high pattern awareness, but your mystery awareness drops to zero, your overall lucidity completely vanishes.
Right. Sun calls that state obscuration. When one side hits zero, you are entirely obscured from reality.
Give us an example of that.
Well, take a hyper-rational tech executive who believes only data is real. They view everything as atoms and algorithms. Human beings are just like biological spreadsheets to be optimized.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so they deny the overflow completely.
Exactly. That is a state of obscuration called scientism. Their mystery awareness is zero, so their lucidity is zero. They are navigating a map and completely ignoring the territory.
But the exact reverse is equally dangerous, right?
Oh, for sure. Imagine someone who rejects all data, ignores science, and insists everything is just energy and vibes.
So they deny the map.
Right. That is anti-intellectualism. Their pattern awareness drops to zero. And again, overall lucidity hits zero. They fall into a mystical fog where they can't effectively navigate the physical world or solve complex problems.
Neither the map nor the overflow is bad or good.
No, they are simply incomplete and dangerous without each other.
Okay, so we've established the mechanics. We have the map, the overflow, the Necker cube, and the danger of hitting zero on either side.
Yep.
How does all this philosophy act as a survival guide for the AI age? Because artificial intelligence is clearly the catalyst for why this conversation is so urgent right now.
Well, AI forces a total reevaluation of human worth.
Mm.
For centuries, our definition of value was tied to our ability to compute.
Right, going back to René Descartes. Cogito, ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. Our ability to reason, manipulate information, and recognize patterns was our anchor.
It's what separated us from animals.
Yeah, exactly. But what happens to human value when machines can think? When AI can recognize patterns a billion times faster and more accurately than a human brain?
Right. If thinking is defined purely as pattern processing, AI has permanently beaten us. And if Descartes was right, our fundamental value is effectively obsolete.
That is a terrifying thought.
It is. But Sun introduces a massive philosophical update with axiom E1, lucido ergo sum.
I see. Clearly, therefore I am.
Yes. The defining act of humanity is no longer computation.
It's lucid awareness.
Exactly. It is the ability to hold both the pattern and the mystery together. And this demands that we radically redefine the difference between intelligence and wisdom.
Okay, how so?
Well, intelligence in this framework is strictly the capacity to identify, model, and manipulate patterns.
Which means intelligence is now a cheap, externalized commodity.
Totally.
I mean, I can rent server space, spin up an AI agent, and generate more raw intelligence, more pattern manipulation in 30 seconds than a team of human researchers could in a lifetime.
Intelligence is endlessly scalable.
But wisdom isn't.
No, wisdom is entirely different. Wisdom is the capacity to integrate pattern awareness with mystery awareness.
Integrating the two faces of the Necker cube.
Right. It is the ability to look at a complex data set about climate change, but also feel the resonance and the this-ness of a dying coral reef, and then judge what actually matters.
AI has absolutely zero mystery awareness.
None. It cannot feel awe. It cannot experience qualia. Therefore, plugging that into our equation, AI has zero wisdom.
Wisdom is non-scalable. It is intensely personal. It is biologically rooted. And it is impossible to outsource to a server farm.
And that reality creates what Sun calls the scissors gap.
The scissors gap.
Yeah, this is the central crisis of our era. Picture a line graph shaped like an open pair of scissors. The top blade of the scissors is the supply of AI intelligence in the world. And that line is skyrocketing exponentially.
Yeah.
The bottom blade is human wisdom, our capacity for lucidity, and that line is relatively flat.
So the gap between our godlike technological intelligence and our human wisdom is just tearing the fabric of society apart.
Exactly. We have endless tools to manipulate the pattern, but we are losing the capacity to recognize the mystery.
We're staring at the Necker cube, locked so intensely onto the data face that we are completely forgetting the rest of the object.
And the broader the scissors gap gets, the closer society moves toward total obscuration. We risk building a world that is perfectly optimized on a spreadsheet, but entirely hollow to live in.
Man. So let's bring this entirely back down to earth to the individual listening right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
The practical takeaway from the Tao of Lucidity is that every single action in your day is a delicate negotiation between the map and the unmappable.
Right. When you are doing your taxes or building a bridge or writing code, you need heavy pattern awareness.
But when a friend is grieving or when you are standing in a forest, you have to know how to put the map away.
You have to cultivate the flexibility to let the cube flip.
But the text also offers a surprisingly comforting reality check, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's called the boundary theorem, or T1. The theorem mathematically proves that complete, 100% perfect lucidity is unattainable.
Wait, unattainable?
Unattainable. Because of cognitive finitude, your mind is finite. You will inevitably drop the ball.
Right. You will get lost in a spreadsheet and forget the big picture, or you will get swept up in an emotion and ignore the facts.
Exactly. But, and this is the incredible part, complete obscuration is also mathematically impossible.
Meaning you can never hit a true absolute zero on either side.
Right. The very act of experiencing life, the very fact that you are a conscious being actively listening to these words right now, means that some foundational level of lucidity is present within you.
The fact that you have a subjective experience proves the mystery is alive in you.
You are never fully permanently lost. The machinery for wisdom is already running inside you, simply by virtue of being human.
That is genuinely profound.
It really changes how you look at things.
It does. So we want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over as you go back to your day.
Something to really think about.
Yeah. We know reality is a Necker cube, and we know you need both faces to actually be wise. So look at the architecture of your own life right now.
Your career, your relationships, your daily routines.
Exactly. Which face of the Necker cube are you currently obsessed with?
Good question.
Are you completely drowning in data optimization and metrics while quietly starving for some actual awe? Or are you floating in a reactive, mystical fog, stubbornly refusing to look at the hard, objective patterns of your own behavior?
Whichever side you're clinging to.
What profound dimension of reality are you actively ignoring on the other side?
Remember that the data map is essential for survival, but the overflow is the only place we actually live.
See the pattern, feel the mystery, cultivate the lucidity to know the difference.